very big topic. We're getting close to the end, hopefully. I think what we have left to discuss in the previous part, we still want just to take a couple of minutes to run through the sugya on Samach Aleph to Samach Aleph on base. Hopefully we have time for that now, if not on Sunday. And again, we still have to make a few comments about Koach Akhura, which we had Makoros for. The question is, do we have time also to stick in one shir on the Tosis about Kamal Ibrahim? I think I gave you Marmakomos on that, the Ravon. And I think we'll do one. We'll do a quick one shir at least on that. I'm not going to get bogged down. And then we'll move back to Rav Peter Moshe quickly and then start getting to the Meitav sugyas and so on. Okay. So you should start going those. You know, if you've done all the other things so far, then again, the word Makoros originally for Koach Akhura, we just switched the order a little bit, which I think was more wise in terms of content. And I did give you Mar Makomos on that Tosas, just to discuss very quickly. And I'll give you some things to look at. But already start going through Rabchi and Ramoshe. I'm not going to spend much time on it, just to make a few Ha'aros and some interesting Rashis about, you know, Pigul and Lishma. If you want, you can look at the Pnei Oshua and some of the other Achronim on that. I'll just make brief reference to it. But just the Gemaras themselves are very suggestive in terms of the expansion of Mazik, and then we'll move forward. But before we do that, we still do have a little bit less to talk about Aish. So the last thing that we discussed Aish and Shabbos. Again, there's so much more, obviously, to say about these things. But let's talk now about the question of Rotseach and a little more about Avonos Hakino Maso, and then the Rambam of Yitzhak, which seems to be clearly Keneged Rav Ashi. Okay, so regarding Rotseach, on the one hand we have the Sugya on the Chabbeis on the base, and again the Mishnah later on on the Tesavit base, which has the the Eved Kafus case, which seems to be a situation where you're Pator, Midine Maminis, you're Pator on the Eved for sure. It sounds like, well, this is a big problem for some of the Farshim. It sounds like you're also going to be Pater in that case from the Gadish and from the possibly from the Behema HaSamochlo. Right? That's a question. That's a discussion in the Rishonim, the Rashbam and Rashi and Tosas and so on and so forth. But the Pashtus, it sounds like, you know, if you don't have any other problems, we would think that that is Midin Kabla Bidrava Mine. Some of the Rishonim, many of the Rishonim who are explicit about it, Rashi and Tosis and quite a few other Rishonim assume as a Davar Pashut, especially once the Gemara connects it to Eishim Shemchitza Veishim Shemamono and Vafka Besum at base, that it's Midin Kabla Bidrava Mine. We also, I think Josh brought to our attention that in the Rav Shirim and Bava Kama, that he, for the Rambam at least, he denied it, right? He had a suggestion that the Rambam doesn't mean that it's Midin Kabla Midrava Mine, right? You brought that in?
I think
that was you?
What? I think Eitan knows it better than I do.
Oh, yeah? Eitan? What? Oh, that Eitan. Okay. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, I was just looking to help Josh out.
And the Sayeya, you know, in this case, he ain't
going to promote my own cause.
My question is whether it's Zayachal, 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 Zayachal. But either way, all the humility and the reus that's pouring out from the, you know, the attempt to create the atmosphere of Mishanechasar, you know, Adar Marbim Simcha is really very inspiring. So, that's your call to everybody. Anyway, the point is that that's a phenomenon. What I'm just trying to get at, really, hopefully briefly, is that the Pashtus, let's say two things. The Pashtus, Eishim Shemchitza, one would have thought, you know, certainly if you take it literally, it should apply to Rotzeach. Moreover, you have the Sugya, which very, you know, the Mishnah already implies, the Gemara certainly, at some point, mentions Kamlei Bidraba Mine, right? We noted it then, and Avelvel and maybe Reb Chaim noticed it as well, and that's that the Gemara doesn't actually say the words Kamlei Bidraba Mine, right, until it talks about Rish Lakish and being Metzis, you know, the Eved, you know, himself. That was part of the deal, like why we mentioned Kamal Madrabi Naomi now, when we said that Eshem Shemchitzov, you know, counted for this halacha, why don't we mention it was Kamal Madrabi Bnei there? So that's a good deal. Again, that other line about Atu Tura, you know, for sure, you know, murders an Eved, are you going to say, Kamal Madrabi, are you going to say that you're, you know, Patari Mamon? So those lines, both of which Ravelvel picked up on, and again, maybe early, depends who wrote the earlier piece really was in the stencils, but it doesn't make a difference. Highlight that, you know, there's a little bit of an issue. But that aside, those are, I think we'd all agree, interesting literary nuances. But alone, we would have said that the sugya applies to Eshem Shemchitza, the din of Kamle Midrava Minei. And by extension, we would have thought, all things being equal, that that also means Rotzeach. And we wouldn't particularly be, I think, troubled by this, because Bepashtus, Eshem Shemchitza, is something, you know, we know that it applies to Chabala. And the Gemara does say that it's a factor in whatever this Ptur Mamon, you know, in a context of a Misa case is. So Bepashtus, just reading the Gemara's alone, you would have thought that Eshem Shemchitza applies to Rotzeach, and applies to Kamlei Midrava Minei. End of story. And when Bali Tosis want to demonstrate that indeed Eshem Shemchitza applies to Rotzeach, right, in Sanhedrin, in Zion, they quote the sugya of Chav Beis Amud Beis. Okay. However, since we know that that's not so pashut, A, because of the, you know, those linguistic niceties, but again, that alone, I doubt, would have been sufficient weight, you know, to overturn, you know, the other factors. But you also have the sugya in Sanhedrin, Ein Zayin Amud Aleph, which, you know, beginning with the Bali Tosis, Rishonim were troubled why you don't apply Eshem Shemchitza, why isn't there Rotzeach, you know, in that, in the gravity case, we'll call it, and maybe, you know, even in the Sof Hacham Alabo case, based on Eshem Shemchitza, or Kiruv HaDavar La'esh, Kiruv HaEsh LaDavar, things that we've discussed already. So that's a little bit already of counter-evidence. Moreover, once we see that Eshem Shemchitza, right, is not fully Adam HaMazik, and the evidence for that, you know, is all over the place in the sugyas that we've been doing. So then the question of where you draw the line, and, you know, possibly, you know, reasonably drawing it at Rotzeach, becomes more more compelling. Then the question is, so how do you have your cake and eat it too? What do you do with the sugya and so on? So the Chiddush Aran, I guess, was the most explicit among the Rishonim, who says that there's no din of Eshem Shemchitza ben Rotzeach, does not tell us what he does with that sugya. Again, my suggestion would have been to, which is the suggestion I made all the way in the beginning, is to say that, you know, indeed the Gemara does connect Kamlei Midrava Minei to Eshem Shemchitza, but that's before the Gemara introduced the idea that Rabbi Yochanan's conception is more complex and that it also includes Eshem Shemamono. That very inclusion, or especially if you were to say it along the lines of the Rambam, where I'm saying, trying to be very meduyak, not saying this for the Rambam, and that is that not only does the introduction of Eshem Shemamono alongside Eshem Shemchitza, but especially if you think that Eshem Shemchitza flows from the Mamono, so then a very, I think, ingenious kind of solution emerges. And again, if we weren't concluding, you know, that this introduction or this integration, depending on the different formulations, affects Eshem Shemchitza's scope anyway, you know, then it would be, you know, ingenious, but, you know, again, there would be more room to be skeptical about it. But the fact that we have seen that that might be an important transition in the Gemara, and we've seen it in a bunch of other things, in terms of Talmud and, you know, other things, gives further credence to the notion that that is a transition point in the Gemara. And if it's a transition point in the Gemara, then we can wipe away at least the connection between Eshem Shemchitza and Kamle Bidraba Mine. So that is a suggestion. That suggestion only works if Lahalacha, you paskin Eshem Shemchitzav, and you don't think that there's Kamle Bidraba Mine in this case. So again, if that's how the Rav read the Rambam, I just don't see it so much in the Rambam, to be honest. The problem, I should say, getting ahead of myself, the problem is that the Rambam does seem to paskin that you are, you know, potter for the Gedi HaSamoch and for the Gedish. And as such, it sounds like Kamla Midrabim Minei did make the final cut. So in the Rambam, which would be, you know, perfect to say this, even more than any other Rishon, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know if that's what motivated the Rav to conclude that that's not what he meant, but again, the phenomenon at least is interesting. The idea that, you know, maybe how you read the Gemara is affected by, you know, that transition on Kaf Gimbal Amud Aleph is something that we find also in the Chidushei HaGriz, but in a important, in a way that differs importantly. I'll explain what that means in a second. Yeah?
Where does he send around that he thinks the Torah is going in on Gideon?
Well, I mean, doesn't he say that?
I mean, I thought the parallel was that the Rambam says in the first phase of Gideon Kapos and Eved Selmoth that your Chayiv, that Chayiv is only going on the Gideon and not the Eved. So then the parallel would be when he says Eved Kapos and Gideon Selmoth, that the Torah would only be going on the Eved.
I guess that's how we read it. I don't think that's a Pshuto Shel Rambam, based on the Mishnah and based on. I'm just saying, I find that a dochuk reading. If you want to say it, then if you can believe it, then I would just add in the other part, and that's what happened to the Gemara and then the Kamal B'Rabim Minei, and doesn't he paskin Eshem Shepchitza? Then I would jump in with the rest. I'm just saying that's I think what you know what you were reading, right? I think that's how the Rav read it. I just don't think that that's a simple reading of the Rambam. But if it is, then it solves our problem, and we're happy. The only question is, where did he get it from? What happened to the explicit Gemara? The Gemara was never Chozer. The answer is the Gemara didn't have to be Chozer, because it was implicitly Chozer by pulling back on Eshem Shemchitza. I just don't think the words sound that way, you know, that he is saying that. I mean, I think it implies that in the case of Gedi, you know, Kafu is such a potter for the Gedish and for the Behema and for everything. You know, read it one more time.
Yes, in the first case he says that.
Just read the whole Rambam, yeah. Right, that's the Talmud business that we discussed. Yeah. That part I totally.
Yeah, and here the Chai is only going on the Gedi, not on the other.
Yeah, because that's because the Eved, the Eved Samuch, as we know, is not in play because he's a Bardas, and therefore he, you know. But that's already, that chiluk is implicit in the Mishnah and in the Gemara already. That's what bothers me. Yeah. Then comes the second part. Yeah. So I'm saying, if you want to say, technically I can see how you can read it that way. I'm just saying, since it's pretty clear that the difference between Samuch and Eved and Samuch and Behemah is for a different reason, and it really shouldn't apply. I mean, the Rishonim were troubled by it. They asked, like, why are you even bringing in, you know, this other, you know, factor? So again, if you think the Rambam implicitly is concerned with all that, and that's what
Rebbe also ends up meaning, he says something's different, but he ends up reading that the Gemara was really talking about the Eved also.
He has to. I think that's a problem for him. He'll have to say that.
Yeah,
100%. So let's get to Rav Elul now. I'm just telling you why I would love to embrace this idea. I just don't really, honestly, think that that's what the Rambam meant. If he did, then we have no problems with the Rambam, and we can. And I'm actually suggesting a good Alushitasa way for him to. I don't know if the others say that, but that's what I'm saying. The model that the transition in the Gemara affects how you read that case, that idea we do have in the Griz, but in a slightly different way, right? So let's take a step back and just see what he says for a second. So what does the Kiddushah Griz basically say? Moshe? It's good to I can't help myself. So he starts off with some complexities, you know, in some of the Gemara. There seem to be stiras, and certainly in Rashi and in the Rambam, regarding some of the issues of Tana de Beit Hizkia and whether they apply in a case of below Kavana, right? Which leads him kind of to, we can just look inside this for a minute, because these are hard pieces to read. Then I want to talk about the Rav Chaim also. Again, we're finishing with this today, but right, he starts off with, you know, with the Sugya and Sanhedrin, again, structurally, in other words, and what's that? It's on the board. Great.
No, it's big fish.
That's like a high mission on the board.
That's what I have here too. Great. can you digitalize the grizz? Okay, so it starts off with the Sugya and Sanhedrin and Bali Tosis. Very kaimel and abonis lakinu matzosh and ichemosh gagom and offer ruach mitzvah v'zikun b'chayvim b'shem eish. And we also pass Ganeshim Mishum Chitza, according to the Rambam. So you should be Chayim Gamba Nefashos and the Raya from Baba Kama. Right? And Bali Tosis answer, no. The Sugin in Sanhedrin is Liba de Mandomar Eshem Mishum Mamono. And that just doesn't work. But according to the Rambam, who has a closed system, right, we know that he paskins Eshem Mishum Chitza. Since he paskins Mishum Chitza, so we should expect that he, in Hukos Rotzeach, would follow through and say that the gravity case is chayiv. Correct? That's how you get into it. Then comes a whole discussion, I'm not going to go into the details of that right now, although it is quite fascinating, where he tries to prove that really there are two different dinim, right, that come from kind of the drusha of Tana de Beit Hizkia. Okay, what are those two dinim? Moshe? Correct. That's the new one, or the one that he was megala, or you know, made clear, is that this one. There's no din, no chiyuv damim. We'll explain. Go ahead. And what's the other one? Eitan? Yeah, but so just I mean, just you know, conceptually, how would you formulate the two dinim? He breaks it up in terms of Shogeg and Eina Miskav, and I want to talk about that too for a second, again, because we've actually touched on so many of these issues that we're criminal not to at least make the comments to, you know, about them. Kimlay in the case of Shogeg, for example. And Dmei Nera, correct, in the case of Bli Kavan. Okay, so basically these are two, just to make it clear, you have to read, you know, like all these pieces, you know, Chidush HaGriz, Chidush HaGriz, you have to read them a few times to get them straight, because they're very compact, and they're very abstract. And, but, you know, when you do, it's always a great payoff. So we're going to spend just a couple of minutes bringing out, or at least how I understand it. So basically what Revel is trying to explain is that what looks like one halacha, namely the din of Tana Beit Chanan Bechizkiah said that chayvei miso shogim pturin, correct? Meaning, even in a situation where you're actually not chayvei miso, we still apply the din of kamalei bedravam. And the evidence is mixed regarding, you know, again, the classic case of that is chayvei miso kishmo kainhu shogigin pturin. The question is, I'm just putting it in context a little bit. And that is, will it apply to every single case where you're not chayiv misa, has a din of tana de Beit Hizkia, or are there different? There's a different status for different reasons why you're pater misa. It just so happens, or it doesn't just so happen, right? That we were talking about this in the last year, right? There we mentioned that you know. If Shogeg is the paradigm case for Tana de Beit Hizkia, what will the halacha be, right, with Misaseg? Right? And what will the halacha be in Blockchain Tzricha Legufa? So another question we can ask is, and what will the halacha be in the case of Onwas? And another case we could ask is, and what will be the halacha in a case of lack of Kavanah? So what's the difference? Again, he doesn't elaborate in this piece, but the point is as follows. We showed him already in Bava Kama Chabav, suggests the possibility of distinguishing between Malakshay and Tzvicha Legufa and Shoge. Right? And I believe in Ucha Yosef, the Ra, in that sugya. Rabbi Kiveger, as we know, distinguishes between the Sasek of Kol Torah Kula and the Sasek of Shabbos. Right? That's what we were discussing the other day, in a counterintuitive, maybe, initially counterintuitive, but still in a very, very understandable and a critically important way. Right? And Rabbi Belville here is saying, oh, that's going to be Miyashev, Rashi, and the Rambam, that there's a distinction between lack of Kavana and Shogeg. So what it comes down to, in all cases, frankly, is the same basic yesod. And that is, the more that we have a fully intact Maisa Avera, or Maisa Rotzeach, even though there's a Patur Gavra on the Onish level, we apply the Din of Tanit Bechizkia. Because Tanit Bechizkia depends not on the reality or the implementation of the Onish, but on the Maisa Avera. Right, so we're really saying Shogeg, of course, is a full Maisa Avera, otherwise it wouldn't bring Korban Chatos. Right? Parshas, beginning Parshas Vayikra this week. Misasek, that's exactly what Rabbi Kiveger is trying to figure out. Which Misaseks, you know, have a shame Maisa Avera and which do not. And who Huadin, Legabe Melach Shen Tzvicha Legufa or Mekalkel, again, you might mechalik between the different Melachas Machsheveses, right, with regard to this question. And l'chora hu adin l'gabe the distinction between lack of kavana and shoge. The only thing is, Rebbe is adding, so basically what he's saying is, in a case of kavana, there's no tana de bechizkia of chayvei misos, you know, bli kavana, you know, pturim. However, he says, there does seem to be another halacha anyways, and that is the halacha of d'mei anerak, as you both put it. And that is that you can't put a price, and there's no like kofar kind of money on if you were involved and caused a death, right? You never pay the, you know, the dine mominis value attached to that. There was a question about Eved, maybe, right? But you know, if you're certainly in a Ben Chorin, you don't have that halacha. So that's a separate halacha that applies even b'li kavana, because there's just no, you know, there's no financial aspect or dimension, you know, to loss of life. Okay, so if that's the case, there really are two different dinim. But Rav Belville also suggests here, and this I think is questionable, is that the two dinim that we're talking about are completely disconnected one from the other. Like, he makes a big point of that. And also fundamentally different because they're disconnected completely. Or they are really two different points. But they're disconnected from each other completely. It's a separate din entirely. And they're also fundamentally different in their nature. Namely, this he doesn't say so much, but if you read it a few times, you pick up on it. And that is that the Kamla Bidraba Mine part, the Tana de Bechizkia part, Chavim Misa Shogim Peturim, is a poter. Whereas the din that there's no Demei Ne'arag is an absence of Chiyuv, or it's a petur, but it's not a poter. Okay, that's his big yesod. Now, one could have said, I'm just not going to go into this right now, but that even if there are two dinim, maybe they're not completely disconnected. I mean, there are two, you know, different aspects of Tana de Bechizkia. You know, maybe they are actually closer than you think. In other words, that the, especially since the basic idea of Tana de Bechizkia, this is my suggestion, this is against what Rebelville writes, the basic idea of Tana de Bechizkia, in my opinion, is the eclipsing idea, which we've talked about. Namely, that, you know, in the context of a of an act of murder, right, the dina mominis part, you know, doesn't register. So maybe one could have said, because it's a little strange, it does sound in the Gemaras like they're not completely different halachos, and yet Rebelville's correct 100%, that there's a lot of evidence that we are mechalek, you know, these two different dinim. Again, so there are two nafkamina in his view. One is whether we're talking about the dmei hanerag, which is a more direct, you know, financial, you know, competition with the nefashos side. That's one issue. As a right, as opposed to, let me make clear, other chiyuvei mamon that take place at the same time or in the same tziruf. In other words, the dmei havlad or like a typical kamalei bedrava minei, right, have the effect of being of the dine misa part or the nefashos part being poter the mamon part, and you don't have that, you know, here. It's just a din that the dmei nerag is not collectible. So that I think is true. So because of that, Rav Elbel thinks these are two totally different dinim. The fact that they are derived, you know, together, and in some cases seem like they're together, is misleading, and they're totally different. They're totally different, and therefore they're both. One of them is a poter, the other one is a patur. But I think that one could have said that these are that this is a more targeted or focused application, but a more limited application of the same idea. And therefore, you don't have to completely separate them. Not a coincidence that they're derived and often brought together. Namely, with regard to the ability to be poter, you know, coincidental or related monetary claims, you know, that level of eclipsing requires that there be, you know, a gavra, you know, who is chayiv misa, but patur, you know, mina onesh. You know, so you have a rotzeach or a person who, you know, is mechal Shabbos, et cetera, et cetera. And in some cases, you don't have that, you know, whether it's msasek or lack of kavana, et cetera, as the case may be. But maybe there is still a madrega, and at the end of the day, there's a cheftza shell aveira, not a maisa aveira, or maybe not a gavra, a varian, but a gavra, you know, who's mitsura to this resultant consequence. And maybe that isn't just a p'tur, you know, you can't collect, or that there's nothing to collect. Maybe the idea itself is that when it comes to the blood money, you know, on the head or directly connected to this process, when it comes to that, right, eclipsing applies. Even if you're not a gavra rotzeach or a gavra mechal Shabbos, even if there's only a chefza shochil Shabbos, not even a maisa shochil Shabbos, whatever you want to say, however you want to define, then there's no need necessarily, right, to separate the dinim. Rav Elbel himself, as I say, is very, very clear that these are two totally different. I'll just quote you a line. Second. Da, da, da. For Amdor Rishonim Asiris Asugis Tiksuvis, etc. Yeah, b'shitas haRambam reim v'varis lahedya, the choluk bein shogeg leinu miskavim, the rak chayv v'misa shogeg p'turim tashlumin, aval leinu miskavim chayv v'hava k'davar she'im bo misas bezdin. That's an interesting line. This is what he's trying to explain. The din of ein lo d'mei nerag is k'davar she'im bo misas bezdin. V'ashanira mukhar k'mavuar, the hodar mina b'sanhedrin, the gam she'im miskavim p'turim d'mei nerag, which is my point, it sounds like it's connected. Leading come the rabbi kavana talya milsa mikomako midme anerag mias biftar mishum hach drasha de lo tachlok bo the ofen de bahach de bechiski anem shnei dinim nefradim, right, chada de lo tachlok ben shogeg lemezid, and that's the gam beshogeg chashiv kamle midrava minei b'sheidus de lo tachlok o ben miskavin l'sheni miskavin linyan dme anerag. The gam in miskavin, the lake of p'tur, the kamalim drabim, the gam can lake a chiv tashlumin the nerak. Vehenein divrei Gemara, de la bar katolu v'la bar mamona, vein ze klal mishum kam leib drab, rak de beikar dino, lo nemar chiyuv tashlumin, de lo chiva tar mamon, b'maka adam. So that's his view, even though it's in the same limud. The result of it is that he wants to end up suggesting the following. And that is that when the Gemara, here on the next part, he does suggest something parallel to what I was suggesting. He says, when the Gemara thought that Eshem Shem Chitzav and Eshem Shem Amona are mutually exclusive, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan only believes in Eshem Shem Chitzav, right? So basically what you have is that according to Reish Lakish, this second halacha doesn't apply because it's Dnei, Misas Shoro. Esha is Shoro. But if you hold Chitzav, it's Dnei Misaso, right? And therefore you don't collect it. But according to the Mandar Nambar, Esham Shem Chitzav, you're Pata Lagamri. But once, this is his idea, but once the Gemara introduces Lamaskana, that Rabbi Yochanan holds both Eshem Shemono and Eshem Shem Chitzav, right? So even though on the Chitzav side he's Patur because it's Dmei Nerag, why shouldn't he be Chayev on the Mamono side? Ah, you'll say that the Chitzav side poters him from the Mamono side? Says Rav Elwell, no, you can't say that because I just explained before that even though these two dinim come from the same place, one is a poter, and the other is Meikara, the absence of there being a chiyuv. Right? So if the Rambam, let's say, holds Eshem Mishum Chitzav and Eshem Mishum Amono, right, then you should always be chayiv Dmei Anerag, because of the Mamono side. Okay. So what I'm just making the Ha'ara, and that is as follows. Number one, he totally ignores the fact that the Rambam doesn't hold Eshem Shem Mamono separately and Eshem Shem Chitzav separately, at least not when there's also Eshem Shem Chitzav, as we explained, Parak Gedal and Halacha, Tesvav. The Rambam really holds that Eshem Shem Chitzav and Eshem Shem Mamono, the Maskana, merge into one. So there's no separate Mamono and separate Chitzav. That's number one. And number two is what I was saying a moment ago, and that is it really so clear that if you have both, that you'd be chayiv? Now, the first thing I just said was, for the Rambam, you don't have both, you have an integrated. Or maybe you have Mamono when you don't have Chitzav at all, but when you have Chitzav and Mamono together, they're not separate. Now I'm adding the second point, and that is what I was arguing 2-3 minutes ago, and that is it really so clear that these are totally different dinim, that have absolutely nothing to do with each other, and that it's just a din mikara aimbo, Dmei Nehara. Right? Maybe this is a kind of a mini eclipsing din. Not an eclipsing din that is poter you mimamon acher, like kamali midraba mine, right? But maybe this din that there's no Dmei Nehrag itself is a function of it's not just a lack of chiyuv, it's kind of a constant poter. In which case, even if you had chitzav and mamono, right, maybe you'd still be poter. Okay, so that's where I would distinguish in all of this. That aside, and that might help you, sum up with the Rambam, it still remains a little bit difficult. Because in the end of the day, and this is I think what Nathan was saying a second ago, and we discussed, I think Moshe brought to my attention that, what were you quoting? From what Sefer?
The
Kuntres Abirim. Okay. And written by? Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. Who's bothered by in the Grizz by the problem that we mentioned before, and that is, what are you going to, even in the Hava Min of the Gemara, what are you going to say about, correct? That's what he's bothered by? What are you going to say about Gedi Samuch or the Gedish? Whereas if you really think that it's all about Dmei Nehrag, right? Then how do you explain those? So, in addition to the two ha'aros that I have within the, you know, even if the Griz, according to the Griz, how you still could have disagreed, it does seem a little problematic to conclude that there's no kumbalim drama meaning. Again, depending on how you read, what is it? Perikid base halacha? Yud. I mean, the one that I think is come. Yeah. Okay. So I think that the other possibility is that even in Tana de Bechizkiya there are madregos. It could be that you're not chayiv betoras rotzeach, right? Which would explain, you know, why it is at the gravity case and so on. If that's really what you think it means, but that maybe there's still a kind of a din of Tana de Bechizkiya, meaning. Just as Tana de Bech, in other words, if you have a Maisa, a Misa, even if you don't have a Gavra, Rotzeach, maybe we do say Kamlai Bedraba. Okay. And that's what I was suggesting way back. That's different from. Right. And that would work maybe, even if the Rambam held Kamlai Bedraba, notwithstanding the change from. You know, chitzav is on a mamazik to mamono / chitzav. Yeah.
Okay, I also just thought, like, in support of Rabbi, that there's a gemara shown in Mabul that there's a chibot seyadei shamayim of the main neharot, and before that makes more sense.
Excellent, very good. I didn't think of that. I mean, if you hold zechiv de shemayim of the main neharot, you can't say it the way Rav Elbel said it. Right? And that isn't because there just isn't such a thing. You have to say that on some level it's a kind of a poter. But you know you don't want to necessarily exploit that. This idea that maybe Tana de Bechizkiya could work even if there's no Rotzeach is something that I did find again when I was reading through that tshuva, and I think I mentioned the other day in the Avnei Nezer, right? In the Avnei Nezer Simin Shin Pei Tes, the second tshuva, Os Dalid, he raises the question: Od Hare Kasha Laran, the Sfira Le B'Misa Lo Minidation B'Shem Chitza. Misugid above a kama, the Evid Kafa Sugdi Samoch, Minisra Pimo, Bishl Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eishem Shem Chitza Nicha, Lechora by Nicha, Hamisa Lo Makayu. His question is, what are you going to do, you know, with the Ram? Okay. So again, I gave my suggested answer, and now I'm suggesting a couple of things within the Rambam that be old that way. His answer is similar to what I was saying. V'tar Cholomar, the Dami Lekai V'Misa Shogin, the Gami Nimaka Adam Yimaka Behema. It's a little bit slightly different formulation than mine, right? Gabe Eish, that's ma maka behema lo chilakta ben maka atzmo o al yidei Eish, right? Af maka adam al yidei Eisho lo chilakta bo le potro mamon. V'imkein shaper kamar Yerushalmi sheish hasra'a smisa. I'm trying to explain the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi seems to say that there's something called hasra'a asmisa in a case of eish, or eish mishum chitza. So he says, how's there hasra'a? There's never chiyuv misa. He says, no, there is hasra'a. V'imkein shaper kamar Yerushalmi sheish hasra'a smisa b'chol shibolas v'shibolas d'mahani l'inyin kemli b'drabba midei. In other words, he too is suggesting that even if there's a p'tur rotzeach according to the Ran, there still is Tana de Bechizkiya enough for, just he's formulating it a little bit differently, for the p'tur mamon. That, if you accept that, again, works a little better in the Rambam. The other one to mention is the Minchas Chinuch, right, who is also bothered by this problem. Okay, Minchas Chinuch firstly thinks that the Rambam, I don't think this is the case at all. I'm a little surprised, find it a little tamua. But this is Minchas Chinuch Nun Vav Yud. He assumes that according to the Rambam, Eishem Shem Chitzav is Potter Mishum Rotzeach. He gets that from Gimel Yud. Rotzeach Gimel Yud. Where the Rambam speaks about the Ptur of Rotzeach in Sof Chama Lavo. Okay, but if you look at the language of the Rambam, you have it? Anybody have it open? Gimel Yud? Alex? All the Rambam really says is that he quotes the Gemara. This is, I think, a great example, although it's tamua, of, you know, the Minchas Chinuch reading the Rambam, you know, the Laor, you know, Tosfos' question, in a way. Go ahead.
So in Tessie it said, Dochad es chadir l'soch ha-mayim l'soch ha-ish, om dir nesom yachol la'alos v'sham patur misos hezin, v'meinu yachol la'alos ha-ayot. And then in Yod, he says, v'al kofes es chadir v'nichol b'ra v'at shemes, o shekvaso v'nichol v'makul v'shesof ha-tzina o'cham l'lovo v'sham uva'a, v'misaso o'sha shekafas olam ha-kiyis, o'sha para olav esam ha-tziva,
he's a rotseach. It's an interesting law shown, right? But ain bezin memisin also. Now, does it say anything there about Eshem Shemitza? No. But because it says it's the case of Sof Chavalavo. So apparently the Milchas Chinuch was like, you know, read the Gemara, you know, read the Tosis, assuming, well, what is the Rambam going to think about, you know, how Rambam doesn't make any distinction between, but the Rambam happens to be talking about a case of Mediach Oso, right? He doesn't say Hevi Oso, you know, Lamakom, does he? Or it does sound like Hevi. Read again. Right. I'm saying it's no worse. What the Rambam writes is no worse, no different in a way than the Gemara. So the Baalei Tosfos said, yeah, you know, maybe there is a distinction between, you know, Hevio, you know, and Tzimtzumo, you know, and Hinicho. Right. My guess what bothered Minchas Chinuch is how come the Rambam doesn't make these distinctions? It must be because he holds that in all circumstances it wouldn't work, because Eshem Shemchitzav just doesn't work for Rotzeh. I just think it's not mukhra, but at all, frankly. But, okay. Either way, Minchas Chinuch is bothered by this. What do you do with the Kamalei B'drava Minei? So his suggestion is a slightly different model than Tanu Debei Chizkiyah. Namely, Alex, Zah?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact.
Ellie? Yeah. So he compares, he says basically, the assumption should be that, you know, this guy is a Rodeif, even if he's not a Rotseach, and that Matzilin also, you know, Bechayav, meaning, you know, somebody's doing this to that guy, the only way to stop that, the fellow who's imperiling the other guy, is to kill him, right, that you're allowed to do that. You don't need to shame Rotseach for that. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says. Moreover, whenever you have Kamalei B'drava Minei, this is the second assumption, then there's Kamalei B'drava Minei, whenever you have, I'm sorry, Rodeif, there's Kamalei B'Shiyochala Tzila B'Nafsho, there's always Kamalei B'drava Minei, even after, right, the, you know, the danger is over. Right? That's basically how he understands, based on the sugya and ayin base of an aleph in Ksuvas, which we've talked about many times. The Gemara there about Baba Machteres. Gemara says that if a person is Baba Machteres, so basically you're allowed to defend yourself and kill him, right? And it comes out of that sugya pretty clearly that that you have Kamalei B'drava Minei even after the danger is over. The Gemara there is talking about in terms of Gneva and Gezela, in terms of Chiyuv Tashlumin, the Machlokes in Rav and Rava, the famous Machlokes Rav and Rava, whether or not if it's a Be'en, you have to give it back. The Ganav for Gazel has to give it back. But everybody agrees if it's not Be'en, right, then you're Potur. Even though, you know, there's no death penalty at all. It just was a case where that there was a din of Matzil and also Benavsha. So the Minchas Chinuch basically says, we see from there that you know, this idea of an expanded idea that, you know, Rodeif Shanita and Lahatzilo is triggers Kamalei B'drava Minei, and that's what's happening here as well. Meaning you have a situation where you're not Chayim Mishum Rotzeach, but because, you know, Eshem Mishum Chitzav is not Rotzeach, but is the guy's life in danger, Lamaisa, On a grumble level, of course. So you're allowed to do anything you have to do to save the other guy's hatzalah, to save the other guy's life. So therefore, it's rodef, and there's kabbalah b'rabba mina. But again, there are some assumptions there. It's not so simple. But that's how the Minchas Chinuch tried to resolve this particular issue. I just think that an easier way to say it is like the Avnei Nezer, or like what I was suggesting. But either way, this is... Okay. So that brings us to... So that's the Minchas Chinuch, the Avnei Nezer, the Griz, the Chidushi Haran, and our addition to... That's a question of Rotzeach. Now let's move on to the Hilchos Shchenim problem of the Rambam. Again, I should add that we'll just look at Reb Chaim first, and then we'll go back to some other possibilities. But Reb Chaim, in the Chibur, certainly makes it clear that he holds that Eishim Shemchitzav should apply to Rotzeach. Right? What do you do with the Sugya in Sanhedrin? I mean, the simple pshat in Reb Chaim. What do you do with the Sugya in Sanhedrin? Joey? You didn't say Reb Chaim? Reb Chaim, no? Ezra? You see Reb Chaim in Shkenim? Yeah, so what do you do with the Gemara in Sanhedrin? He assumes that Rotzeach is Chayim in Eishim Shemchitza. So what about the Sugya in Sanhedrin with the gravity? And what about the question that he begins with, Shchita? Why did you say Eishim Shemchitzav in terms of Shchita? Through gravity? Like the Sakin, you know, you use gravity to make the Sakin fall, and they're like a perfect, amazing Shchita. It seems like from the Gemara that shouldn't work. Well, so why not? Say again? So he has the possibility, it's a very interesting piece. Again, there. Let's just pick out a couple of lines. So he has a suggestion that maybe it would be mechalek between Rotzeach, again, this is particularly interesting under the Rav Yah and the Avnei Nezer, you know, and the other things that we discussed. He has the possibility, he considers the possibility, Ezra, of being mechalek between Shchita, which requires Koach Gavra, as opposed to Rotzeach and Mazik that require... Remember? That where Eishem Shemchitzav is going to apply, even if it applies in Rotzeach, it won't apply in Shkita. Again, we have Rishonim and Achronim, right, divided on the hierarchy. When it comes to Shkita, Netil Sadaim, Mazik, Rotzeach, Shabbos, that's what we've been doing, right? Here, so, one second. Where did Reb Chaim go here? Mind it sometimes moves around a little bit. It's like a game that plays with me. Okay, here it is. Yeah. So what do you think of that? That's of course in keeping with what we've said, but then he rejects it. Ezra, why? What's the context? What's Reb Chaim trying to deal with here?
Exactly.
The stira between Raksa and Liva Beliv Saruach. Right, Rambam seems to paskin against Rav Ashi. We're going to get back to that in just a second. We'll talk about some other perspectives on that. Rambam paskins almost against all Rishonim, against Rav Ashi and Arsugya, and holds that Liva, you know, Beliv Saruach together, right, Bishneim, She'enim Yecholim, Bepashtas, right, that you will be Chayim. Okay. He also holds that Liva HaRuach Ba'atzmo Beruach Mitzuya is going to be Chayim. That's implicit, as we discussed when we discussed it. And this part, the Liva V'Livsa Ruach B'Shnei Meni Mecholim, that part is explicit. And the Ravid, of course, is very unhappy with that. This is a Perek Yudalet Halacha Zayin. Right? The Ravid attacks. Okay. But in any case, you see from here, that avagav da ruach siyeh mikol makom chayiv, and that seems to be a stira to choshchenim, because in Raksa, the Rambam paskins what? Ezra? Then you're potter. You know, the combination of ruach
and Adam is Potter. What's the difference between them? So he then goes on to quote Tosfos in Sanhedrin, right, who asks, well, Eshem Mishum Chitza, but it's interesting what he zeroes in on, right? First he zeroes in on, Lama Benafla Sakin Miyado V'shachta Shkita Sapsula, which Tosfos does say. Kivin Avachitzav. And Tosfos himself consider and then reject the possibility of distinguishing between Koach Adam in Shkita versus, you know, Rotzeach in Mazik. So Reb Chaim elaborates that. But the way he elaborates is kedarko, very interesting. But like in the member de Eshem Shemchitzo, Ein Zerak Zeros Akasov bin Azakim, right? Which is what Revelbel actually, in the other piece, concludes that it's only Xeros Akasov, only Nezakin and Chabal. He can't deny Chabal. So he says, don't say that. Dare Mevur Lehedja, why not? Because of Kamle Medraba Minei. Tavava Kama Chabes, Gabi Evet Kafus, Degam Benefashos Chayiv Eshem Shemchitza. Again, Reb Chaim clearly read the Rambam that he does hold Kamle Medraba Minei, right, in Yodalad Yod. Hare, Tavava Eshem Shemchitza, who lekol mili. So instead of limiting it to Mazik and Chabalah, apparently you see from the Gemara's Havamina that it applies even to Rotzeach. Vim Kain Kasha Demaishna, Nafal Sakim beyond the Shitas, why is Shchita less than Rotzeach? And you see from here that Chitzav is general. Nir Lomar, Avda Amrina, here's where the suggestion to be Mechalik still, the Avda Amrina Neshem Shem Chitza, right? And even though it works also for Rotzeach, Kabbalim Rabba Minei, right? Assuming not just Kabbalim Rabba Minei without Rotzeach and slash Kabbalim Rabba Minei, Hazare Lo Chidei Shlan Rak Nahava Ki'ilu Ki'ilu hu ba'atmo asa esa maisa. An interesting language. Ukimo sheyora chetz. Avolzeh hare lo matzinu klal b'chitzav shechashuv nasa maisa bikocho elo dechashuv sheasa maisa biadayim. Okay, what does biadayim mean? Right? Apparently biadayim means here that what? That he does what he initiates the kumvaseh, something that creates the result, as opposed to only being involved in the result, but that's still different than kocho, you know, where there's a direct connection between his maisa, or his maisa is driving the whole time the nezek, right? Again, these are very subtle distinctions, but, you know, you have to navigate around the evidence, and also objectively, chitzav is mechudash, and Reish Lakish does think that it's short of kocho. So what does Rabbi Yochanan really think? Where do you draw the line, right? Avoloshe nasa mikocha. L'chein gabi chiyuvei mamon unefashos debinan rak chiyase hu esamaisa. Avolkocha lo binan klal l'hakashapar binan kibideishim shemchitza ma she'en kemishchita debinan koch gavra dafka imkein mali bekachta avachitza. Okay. So he, you know, would have accepted that, right? But he thinks that Tosas doesn't work that way. Hine, but Tosas Shav Hikshu Ode is another question, and that's Zorak Tzor Lamala V'Hochel Tzad B'Horka, that even in Rotzeach there are issues. I really handed the Dafke Echad to Horka B'Koach Chayiv, meaning gravity doesn't work. Avalav Akipat V'Kasha Negam B'Lo Hocha B'Kocho Akata Te Avonos Akina Maso B'Rosh Agag, right, having told the Eish Kaimelin that Eishel and Shemchitza, the Chayim Gam and Nefashos, the Tirtzu, the Haksugya Kaimel Amandam Arishim Tosis' answer is the Sugya is all Ibn Hilchasa. That again, like, right, doesn't work for the Rambam because it's a closed, you know, system, and we know that he paskins, you know, Eishel and Shemchitza, and he paskins in Hilchas Rotzeach Paragimel Halacha Yud Beis that gravity doesn't work. Right? A real hedge is filled with Rambam. The midfashos be eaten dafka sheyarg mikocho. Bim nerag shelo bekocho ela machmoso. That's a good line. Right? What he meant before, which was maisi adayim, is now calling machmoso. But his initiative caused the result. But he didn't actually, you know, physically, it didn't come mikocho. But you see from here that there seems to be a you need mikocho in Rosea. Bekasha. The gam ikra chiluk she kasavnu ben she hey osa maisa L'koch gavra, he says, gam kein eina bukha l'dasa Rambam. This is, I think, a terrific line. The nehi dechiluk nachon bein asa maisa l'koch gavra. I mean, the chiluk is true. Avon mikomokom yeshlomo l'dasa Rambam d'hamia kol shalo shalo nasa maisa mikocho lo mikra asa maisa biyadayim. Right? Upatur b'nefashos ritzorachiyim bazeh. So this is a great line. Again, you could skip it, but this is a window into Reb Chaim's, you know, thinking. So what he's saying is, I hold that on the hierarchy, on the continuum, right, of actions and so on, there is a difference between, you know, a maisa or shebo machmaso and a kocho. However, in my opinion, anytime you don't, you need one is required for the other. Meaning, even though they're conceptually different, without kocho, there's no maisa, machmaso, either. So what's the difference? If you always need, if one always needs the other, so why is there a difference? And just because they're still different. Meaning, there's no din in rotseach, he's saying, of kocho. Torah never says that's bikocho, which is implied by shechita, that it should be bikocho, right? But nonetheless, just because there's no practical nafkamino, he's saying, doesn't mean there isn't two ideas here. Maybe there are some other nafkamino, or maybe not, right? So that's what he's saying. That's an amazing point. Kocho and maisav are different categories, but maybe when there's no kocho, there's no maisav either. So okay, Nira. So unlike Ravelvel, he's going the opposite way. So the fact that it works in Rotseach, which he's convinced that it does, and that it is Kamle Midrabine, you know, proves that you have the equivalent of Kocho, even if you don't need Kocho, but for to be Maisav you need Kocho, right? Dim Nema Kain, Ariad Sarach Lios Hadin Kain, Rak Bamamon. Right, the Hasamika Hakizer Sakasa, Mashen came to the Pashos. The Lake of Kralzeh, Pshita de la Habachitza. If you really felt that Isham Shachitza was inherently limited, right, then it shouldn't apply to Kamlin Drama Mine. And certainly not to Rotseach being Chayim. El Daha, Hod Habachitza of Haina Bishum, the Be'emes Hadabar Kain, the Esha Habachitza of Mabish, Volechas Mikocho. So again, he's going totally in the opposite direction. Eshem mishumchitza means the equivalent of kocho. I, Reish Lakish, denies it, and koach hacham urbo is not kocho gamur. The answer is that's Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan thinks that gali lon kra, that despite the fact that technically, physically, there's a difference between kocho and koach hacham urbo, koach hacham urbo creates kocho. Anything that requires kocho can be accomplished by Esha Mishum Chitzav. That's Reb Chaim's view. And that means you're Chayim Mishum Rotzeach, not just Tana de Bechizki, of course, also Kamlei Midrabah Minei now. And it should work, Esha Mishum Chitzav would work for Shkita too. That's the highest on the hierarchy for Reb Chaim. But, and here's what I'm adding a little bit, it also then becomes a victim of its high standards. If the din is that Esha Mishum Chitzav Migilui Milso or Xeris HaKasav becomes Kocho Shaladam, even though it physically isn't, but it's Alpidin that, then what ends up being vulnerable are the toldos. Maybe not every tolda has that same intensity. Now, Cain, Shapir Chayiv Gam Benefoshos, Kivin to have a Kocho Mamish. Right? He's being a strict constructionist here. After having considered the other possibility, right? The milfa mikra, made me say, making such a good, you know, case for Eishem Shem Chitza being kocho mamish, what do you need a pasuk for? Mishum the koch hacham uraba, the habar mina de patur, reshlakish. Ubezed the galilon kra, again, you don't have to say all this. You could probably say, this is a very high madrega, and it's still. But the chasreu ma'at, you know, may be ma'isa koach tolada. But if not, golilon krod the gam heche the koach hacham urbo gam ken chay v'havalei kochom mamish. Zeu gzeres hakasav deishem shumchitza. Ashelafizeh. right? Even the fasho is kach dina. Kivin avik again gilui milsa the gam kach hamura. Oh, but once you set this high standard, this high bar, that's where you get the opening, right? That the tolda is not exactly the av. Mashenkein b'koach sheni. That's what he calls. Abanas akinim asoshenichem rosh gago v'nafrim tzurich mitzuyin. The pasak kocho, the ein sham kocho klal, right? Uz ein bahem chiyuva dechitza v'rak mishum amono levad. Like the ra'ah, but you know, with a slightly different explanation. He thinks that it's pasik kocho, meaning an eish is something that's always on the move. It's more integratable with the ruach. That's really chitzav mamish. And avodas hakinu baso, you know, you put it on the thing, and then comes gravity. And you could have thought the gravity was even more integratable, but it doesn't hold that way. The ein chitzav ela beba mikocho ubenefashos pshita the miftar alayu. That's also gravity. Can't say that. What's that line doing there? This is Reb Chaim's response. Finish the sentence. See? This line in Reb Chaim. Hanimsa, the Avonis HaKinu Maso, having told the Eish, Koyal Hachdina the Eish, the Kololo Chitzav, the Chaim Mishum Amono. What a strange thing to say. What bothers him? Two things. Right. One, we pass if you pass an eshem mishum chitzav. So how could you say that the tolda the esh is only mishum mamona? The answer is because there's a mamono, even for that mandamar kolalo chitzav. Another way of saying, in other words, we have both. If it only from Yochanan had been only eshem mishum chitzav, then you couldn't say avonos hakinu maso is a tolda the esh, but it's not chitzav, right? But Lahalacha, it's even called lochitza. But I think he's also, that's number one. But the bigger point I'm trying to make is that he's answering the Nebuka Yosef. Right? The Nebuka Yosef said, it must be that Avonos HaKinu Maso, Shenichol Resh Gago, is also Mishum Chitza, because otherwise you'd have your papa. Or you'd have your Tolda Seim Lav Ki Yotze Bahem. So the Reb Chaim is saying, no. Even Esha Mishum Chitza includes Kololokitza. I don't know if it's a great answer, but that's what he's saying. He's saying, don't tell me it's told the same lav kiyotzabem or it's not a proper tolda. It relates even to Esha Mishum Chitzav itself. Bid the Kololokitzav. The Chai Mishum Amono. Well, if he's a Mishavim, Divrei Rambam, Shevenu, Dehechad Aruch Nesayasa Potur, Kvar Hevenu Kushas Magin Mishnah, Mehad Aliva Maliv Saruch Shu Chayiv, the Kashim Goreim, Lufiza Reinicha. Which is what these are, Mishum Mamono, that's Raksa. Raksa is Avonos HaKinu Maso, right? That can't achieve the high standard of Chitzav equal Kocho. Oh. But then you have one little problem, and that is like the Gemara connected it all to Grama, right? Gemara said, Grama who? So what's going on? Ravashi, remember? So here he says something fantastic again, you know, for us. Imkeno nimsa the chiyuva hu almash asar davar hamazik. Hadavar hamazik. Ukimo shar kolamazikin kigon shor ubor. Dechai mishum asias hamazik. Mash enkein heche dahava chitzav. Imkeno hava chiyuva al etzama nezek shasar hu. Have an odom amazik gam b'shas hanezek. We have this on the board, right? Everybody's following? Yeah? Okay. Hare nicha divrei Rambam. So I want to say as follows. I mentioned a couple times, you know, during the year that the Rav was of the opinion, the Rav was way more expansive on the notion that of Yetzirah Samazik than certainly I have been. I'm a huge enthusiast of Yetzirah Samazik, Yetzirah Satakala, in Bor. Right? Maybe even more than other people who believe in it. Right? And our entire discussion of Bor certainly reflects that. Again, I hope it's something that stems from and comes to me flowing from the evidence. But right when we talked about all the things that we talked about for certain Rishon, not for all Rishonim either. But I think I mentioned a couple of times that the Rav thought that Eish might also be a din in Yetziras Hamazik, where I thought it was kind of the parallel opposite. And he even thought in some cases that this perspective would apply to the other Nizkei moment as well. And again, if you think that Shodi Bor Beinayu, or you take a unified theory, so either you've got to say that Bor is a passive, you know, result of the Maisa Kriya, which is kind of a delayed passive Maisa Hezek, something like that, and you neutralize all the differences in that way. Lori, 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 Tzad Hashem Ben, all these things that you might think make it, you know, different Mechayim, but it's really not. It's all that. Or you've got to go the other way, right? Which is that everything is Bor. You know, once Bor is Shodi Beinayu, you know, and then everything is like flipped on its head. Bor is like the most obvious, or the Avtipus Nova Mazik. I mentioned the Rabbah of the Borduchin saying that Bor and Eish are like the Avtipus, whereas in Yad HaZakah, Perikid Beis, right? You know, Perikid Dalid, right? Shor is where it's at. So all I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make here is that, right, the more you unify them, you know, the more you have to go in one of the two opposite directions. So what Reb Chaim is saying here, that maybe this is where it came from, I don't know. Or if not, not from the words necessarily, but from the intellectual environment. What Reb Chaim says here is just a little bit astonishing. Because he's trying to explain the problem of Grumma now. Like, why is Grumma an issue? When is Grumma an issue? When is Grumma not an issue? Right? So what he's saying is, Grumma is a problem for Yetziras Hamazik, but Grumma is not a problem for being Chayev, for being Mitzurav to, or being the Koach behind the Maisa Hezek. Does that ring a bell? Does that remind, echo in anybody's mind? I mean, I did foreshadow it. Anybody like having that sensation? Unless I'm very wrong.
The Ramban.
Exactly. Didn't the Ramban kind of say that? He said those words, right? The Ramban said in Bava Basra, I mean, it's a big piece, and there are a lot of, but that's one of the reasons that we, again, when we spend time on the details of the language, it's for a reason, I hope. It's intended to be for a reason. Say that. So the Ramban had that line too. Right, that being goreim for Yetziras Hamazik is a problem, but being goreim, you know, when we're talking about you being mitzuraf to the result of the hezek, that's of course chayiv.
But there, I'm only speaking on the level of like metzius, meaning when the grumma you're performing is in the yetziras. We're kind of speaking about the same action.
No, he wasn't talking about only metzius. I mean, he's talking about, you know, Leva Velivsa. And he was talking about right, whether in Leva Velivsa there is a pre-stage, you know,
that,
as opposed
to Matthias, your grumma is taking place in the Yetziras Hamazik stage, not in the Asiyas. That's why he said if you do the Leva
Velivsa. Right,
Velivsa,
but he was also saying conceptually that that's all it is, because it's stoppable at that point, and therefore it's a different kind of a phase.
Right. So Reb Chaim saying not on
Matthias. Yeah, I'm not saying exactly the same thing, but I'm saying what Reb Chaim says here is, again, I'll read the words. Im kana nimsa d'chiyuvo alma she'osa davar. If you hold Eishim Shim Mamono, or Avonis Akino Maso, even according to the Manam Rachitza, which is the equivalent of Mamono, right, then your Chiv is Almasha Osar Hadavar Hamazik. Creating the Mazik.
Is that creating the Mazik?
Well, I think that that's what he is saying. I'll just read him a little more. I do think that you don't have to say it, which I think is what you're about to say. I think that there are three categories here. And Reb Chaim is contrasting the first and the third, but could just as easily work to contrast the second and the third. The second being, and you'll tell me this is what you mean, where your mamon is doing the mazik, as opposed to you doing the mazik agav your mamon. Right? Something which we've talked about a lot. So I think the words speak about creating the mazik. And I think, again, that's where it maybe came to the Rav's worldview a little more than I understood, than I'm attracted to it. So these are the words. Im ken anim sadu chiva ma she'osa hadabar hamazik. Again, those words, I believe, could be either one or two. Meaning creating the mazik or the mazik, you know, doing the damage and you being chayiv for the damage that is done by the mazik. What the mazik did, as opposed to what you did in making the mazik. Okay. Ukimo shar kol hamazikin, kigon sharbar. But then he says, dechayiv mishum asiyas hamazik. So again, I'm not going to argue about it. It's whatever you think. I think the words say asiyas hamazik isn't what the mazik did. That's masha asa hamazik, right? Masha asa davar hamazik. If the Rambam meant, if Reb Chaim meant second, he should say masha asa davar hamazik, not hadavar hamazik, and he should have said dechayv mishum masha asa hamazik, not asiyas hamazik. But I'm not going to argue. It doesn't matter to me so much. I just think it's a curious, interesting line, and to me, it's likely this is what he meant, which is a little more extreme. Intellectually, I'm much more comfortable saying the second distinction. So it's both the osa part and it's the who part. That's what I mean. There's the one extreme, and then there's the other extreme, and in between, okay. Do hava adam hamazik gam bishas hanezek, meaning you didn't just either create the mazik or are mitzuraf to and therefore responsible for the maisa that the mazik did, right, or started it. You're really bishas hanezek connected to this hezek. Bimkein arinicha divrei harambam, the Rambam kosev v'lochi chai b'libav liv saruch mishum shehu garam. Right? Are the sfilei the Rambam. The Rambam says Mishum Garam. That's what's so strange about the Rambam, right? Normally you would think that if he wanted to buck, you know, Rav Ashi, then he should have said it's not Garam, it's just Chitzav. That's also Chitzav. It all integrates. But he admits that it's Garam. That's what's so interesting about the Lashon Rambam in Hilchos Deskeimamam. Right? Are the sfilei the Rambam, the Chiyuvo, who Mishum Grama. That I think is correct. Venira, there might be another explanation we'll see in a moment. Venira, the zeh lo shayach rak hecha de chiyuvo hu al asiyas hanezek. Right? Meaning, he's the goreim of the asiyas hanezek. That you're chayiv for, because it's like he did the maisa. Darmina, kimen dehu goram hanezek akor chayiv, ma she'en kain be'asiyas hamazek. Again, that word, which I think means creating the mazek. And then, of course, you know, thereby being responsible for what that mazik does, in the same way that the creating of the boar is. I just wouldn't have said it that way, and I don't think you need to say it that way. I would be more comfortable saying, you know, be'ulas hamazik, or be'maisa shel hamazik. Is that what you wanted to say? Yeah. I agree with you. I just don't think that's what it means. Be'ze lo matzinu din grama she yischai v'maso as hamazik, right, al yedei Grama, not ima mazik osa al yedei grama, right? Well, if he's there, harei shaper cholup din liva b'liv saruach, nav hechitzav v'koshiv adam mazik ba'asiyas hanezek al korchel shaper b'schayim b'shum grama, like the Rama on that, ma'she'en ke b'raksa da hava du b'davano sakino de chiyuva b'shum amono v'lo chitzav im ken avakol ikra chiyuva rak al asiyas hamazik. He created the peril, right? V'lo al asiyas hanezek be'atzmo u'kazeh lo matzino din Grama. You know, notice how careful he is, because logically, it's not so obvious that there's a chiluk. Although I think you could explain it, and I think that's what the Ramah was saying also. And that is, again, if we're interested in if we're on the phase of the Maisa, you know, folk part, so do we really care that it be Bekocho, especially in Mazik, right? As opposed to Ayde Gramaso. You know, but maybe creating the Mazik, you know, for that, you know, or the maisa that the mazik did, you know, that the more removed it is, or the more, you know, informal it is, you know, for that you need kocha. Anyway, I think it's an amazing obviously, I think it's an amazing piece. So, but one which pays dividends when you read it carefully, even if you are cholek in parts, but in terms of the discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, can't you just say that line of the line of LCS Razik is just borrowing the same line of Rashi and Daf Yod, who also says, Hichsharti Zamati Yoso Ezek? Obviously, Rashi over there doesn't think that.
Hichsharti is this go, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Rashi there is saying.
That's the same idea. No,
that sounds like Koser Shmira.
Yeah, it's not literally that you created the Mazik, but that you're responsible for it, and that could be what he's referring to here.
I mean, I just don't think these words mean that. I mean, we could argue, but I think Rashi's saying two things in the Mishnah there. One is you're chayiv for lack of Shmira, or you're just accountable because there's no Patronos.
But his line, his words are.
Right, his manti also hezek. No, I don't think he means that created the mazik. I think he means his manti also hezek, meaning I am mitzuraf. My choser shmira is a lower level, but still a level of hezek, like poshea kemazik in a way. Meaning, again, as we've discussed all year, there are very subtle differences. It's one thing to say that I'm paying. For what my animal did, for its hezek, right? I'm paying for my lack of shmira, which is like a sheval taisa hezek in its own right, or I'm mitzuref to the mais hezek, or I'm paying, because I'm the bailim of the mazik, or I'm paying because I created this monster. I created Frankenstein. That's what I'm paying for. Whatever Frankenstein did afterwards, he did, but it's on my bill. Because I'm the one who engendered that entity. That's different than saying I had a shmira obligation. Neglecting that is tantamount to a certain type of hezek. That's what I think Rashi is saying. Anyways, we could argue, but that okay. Let me finish up. So that is the Ram Chaim and Hoshkenim. Again, the reason I want a sakina maso is not chitzav. The Reb Chaim says because paski. Obviously, he. Another way to say that may also be similar to part of the Raksa discussions. Again, the Rajba, Rabbeinu Yonah, etc. And that is, as we've seen, and the Ra'ah certainly I think is like this. And that is that again, Eisha Yidei Ruach. That's its methodology, and maybe Avano Sakino Maso. It's more of an artificial connection, A, and B, maybe it's more, it's not integrating Ruach into, Hanocha Savano Sekinu Maso. The Ruach, is, the Ruach or the gravity is Mazik Al Yedei, this Cheftza, that I made accessible. So, again, in addition to the question of Pusky, again, the certain natural flow of a fire, a certain process-oriented, once it starts, etc., which I think is what Chaim means, it could also just be this question of the balance between, al yedei haruach, and where the ruach is mazik, al yedei hadavar. Okay. Anyways, that's Reb Chaim. What are the other perspectives in the Rambam? So as we know, the Rambam, I'm going to have to stop here in just a minute, but we'll just talk for a minute about this. And then on Sunday, I just want to go very quickly through, those little, the Mishnayos and the Gemaras about Nechfefes and Kolachas and Rav Shimon. Look at if you get a chance at the little bit of the Chachmei Provence, the Meiri, Rav Yonason Kohen Milneil, the Hashlama. What I'm really interested in picking up from those sugyas very, very quickly, and Rashi tells us, of course, Rambam and the Rif, but very quickly, just going to spend half a shiur on, probably, just to point out how to get involved in the details. All those dinim, all those discussions, again, those are pragmatic issues, very hard to say. That's Dalet Amos, under Dalet Amos, over Dalet Amos, what about exactly Dalet Amos? The merchak of the Aish, whether there is a kind of an objective, measure for it. Kolachas and Nechfefes are, again, pragmatic categories or different types of Aish. The Rush, in particular, which you've noted already, what is it, Simin Yud Gimel, that maybe we're mechalik between Tok Shalom and Tok Shachamero, another example of that. Basically, the relationship between Shlulis, the Hagdar of Shlulis in Peya, and Shlulis, you know, here in Eish. On the surface, again, it's all one question. I just want to pin down some of the Havaminas, you know, of Eish not applying, you know, to certain types of damage. You know, again, Lichka, you know, Avano and Afar. You know, but some of the other things, all only something that is Shkiach and Pasha, but all those kind of points in the Gemara, are they kind of an objectification of the pragmatic? Meaning, this is all under the rubric of kind of, you know, Ruach Mitzuya, or its equivalent. I don't mean literally, but Ruach. Does what is the expectation when you light the fire, you know, but how it's going to end, you know, according to normal conditions? Is that what it's all about? Or is that question gufa, maybe how objective, how you try to objectify that as opposed to case by case forensically leaving it up to the fire marshal, you know, to figure that out? Basically what I'm saying is the default view on a pragmatic level would be like Rav Shimon, you know, but in an extreme way, namely that all these hagdaros are maybe just hechatimtzis. You know, but at the end of the day, you have to go to the fire marshal and just, you know, figure out, was there any Eina Mitsuya, Bidei Shamayim, Onus, you know, parts to any of this? Or is it within the realm of the expected and the natural? Maybe there's, what happens if there's like a range of that realm? Does that matter or not? Right? Or are some of these dinim formal dinim? Lekula or Lechumra? I mean, are there cases which, you know, would qualify in some level as Eina Tzafui or Eina Matsui, and nonetheless you're going to be chayav for them? Or the opposite, which is even more intriguing. Are there cases where clearly it's Matsui and Tzafui, but because of the formal structures, right, you might be potter. Like if you have a gader, you know, Dalet Amos, and it's, you know, it's according to code, you know, the fact that you lit this crazy fire, this more intense one, you know, and it naturally you could have known that this kind of fire would spread, you know, you'd be potter. Right? So that's a question I want to talk about very quickly, just in those Gemaras and a little bit of the Rishonim, but I don't want to spend much time on it. It's all one question. I just want to point out where it is and what it is. And it goes back to our bigger question, and that is, the more you see Eishah Mishum Chitzav, or even Mamono, you know, in natural terms and as a natural responsibility, the more everything should be, you know, about, you know, there should be Keturei Onos, but nothing more, basically. And the more you think that either Eish, like Bor, is more Yetziras HaMazik, right, that Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz line, or that it's more about Siruf to the Ma'aseh Hezek, but not in a natural way, but in a legal way, then the possibility of formal Peturim or formal Chiyuvim, right, becomes clear. So, for example, you know, why are you quoting Peya, you know, in Shlulis? You know, Peya seems like a formal halacha. Namely, you have to leave a Peya for the Aniyim, you know, in the Sadeh. And the question is this one Sadeh or two Sados? Right? What does that have to do with Eish? So again, you could say that whether in the other direction, what is Magdir, whether or not something is one or two Sados, the answer is, you know, they're pragmatic, so for surely that's part of the story. It's not just formalistic and arbitrary, that, you know, maybe the ability of, you know, an Eish or something to travel, you know, from one to the other is Koveya, what constitutes a single Sada or multiple Sados. So actually the pragmatic drives the formal. But if it's the opposite, if these are like Xeris HaKasus or whatever, then what do they have to do with Eish? Right? Moreover, the difference between Mamon and Iser, Mamon and Mamono and Kitzav should be applicable to this as well, to this question. So I should add just one other thing. So that's what I want to look at next time. But before that, I want to look at the different other views in the Rambam. We know what Reb Chaim thinks now. the difference in Shechinim and Niskei Mamon is Eshel Shechitza and Avon HaSakina Maso, which is a toll. Right, but others don't understand it that way. So it gets you into a little bit of a discussion, at least, of Grama and Garmi, and just the different ways that this Rambam was formulated, and much bigger topic, obviously, that we can't do right now. But look at the Ravon, Alatar, Tzadivav, actually, but it's quoted here in the Kamay also, and the Shulchan Gibor is Riaz, as we mentioned, and the Shach, the Choshen Mishpat. This is the Rambam, the Psak of the Rambam, and the distinction between Shechinim and this Kamam, but of course the Magid Mishnah. If you get a chance, the Amshul Shlomo, I think it's in Simen Chav Dalet. Right, so I'll try to do that first, and after that, then move on to these other sugyas quickly, and then we just have Koach HaChar Me'urav to talk about, and I hope it'll take just one or two, maybe Sunday, Tuesday, or something, and then we should be able to get back to Rosh Chodesh.